involved in so many different mitzvahs. Matzah and Morah, Dalit Kosos and Heseba, and of course, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the question is, what's the purpose of it all? What's the tachlis of the Leil Haseba? What's the tachlis of all of the mitzvos halayla of the night of the Seba? We know that we have a mitzvah throughout the year of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, a mitzvah to remember, not just to remember, but to mention Zochar Shetai Shona V'Ficha, to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. As the Pasuk says in Parashas Re'eh, L'man Tizkeres Yom Tzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim Kol Yimei Chayecha. And we paskin like Ben Zoma in the Mishnah at the end of the first parak in Brochas and Daf Yudbeis and Mitbeis, the Mazkirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Ba'Leilos, that Kol Yimei Chayecha is L'Hovi Ha'Leilos. So we have a chiyuv to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day. It's a daily mitzvah, but it's a chiyuv, it's an obligation to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day, both by night and by day. We fulfill that chiyuv in the midst of Kriyishma, of course. In the third parasha of Kriyishma, we mention Yetzias Mitzrayim in Kriyishma Shel Shachris and Kriyishma Shel Arvis. But the Seder night is special, because on the Seder night we have a new mitzvah. We have a mitzvah of Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Above and beyond the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it comes to the Seder night, there's a new mitzvah, Sibri Yetzias Mitzrayim. That mitzvah is learned from the Pasuk in Parashas Bo, V'higadeta levincha b'yom ha'olemar, b'avra zos ha'shem li b'tzeisi mi Mitzrayim. V'higadeta, Haggadah. Haggadah implies some kind of extension, lengthening of a discussion. Sipur. Sipur means a longer story, not just a mentioning, but a longer story. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is apparently some kind of tosefes, some kind of extension, elaboration, embellishment of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We know Reb Chaim in the stencils pointed out that there are three fundamental distinctions between Zechiras and Sipur. We always chazen this over every year. First of all, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires derech sheilu tshuva, question and answer format. Secondly, maschil b'genus u'masayim b'shevach, that you have to start with the more disgraceful periods of Jewish history and end with the better times. Reb Chaim points out all of these elements are in the Rambam. Right? First, the Rambam in Perek Zayin, where he describes the Seder night, everything that has to be done. He mentions that one has to teach the children appropriately. The rule of Derech Sheilu Tshuva is not only to the Ben, that's just what the Pasuk is saying. If the son asks, then you have to answer it. But if a person doesn't have any children, then he has to engage in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Beino Levein Ishto, Derech Sheilu Tshuva. In fact, as the Mishnah in Pesachim says in the Kuf Tesvav, if a person is sitting by the Seder alone, he has to ask himself the question. So this idea of Derech Sheilu Tshuva is not simply to answer a question that's posed by someone else, but apparently that's part and parcel of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. That's the format that it's supposed to take place in. This is Halacha Gimel in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz U'Matzah. And then the Rambam continues in Halacha Dalet. The Rambam says, Yitzar l'aslo b'gnuz u'l'asayim b'shevach. You have to start with the more disgraceful parts of Jewish history and to end with the Shevach. How do we do that? It's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel how to do it. The Rama mentions both. Ketzad maschil mesaper. How do we paskin? Says the Rama, you do this. You first say shebetchila hoyu avoseinu b'mei terach melefon of kofrin netoa nachar hahevel betchila ovde avodazara hoyu avoseinu v'asher kevanu hamakom lavo nasa. That's one part of Maskil B'Nus M'Sayim B'Shevach. V'chein, says the Rambam, Maskil Modiya Shavadam Ayim L'Far B'Mitzrayim V'Chol HaRosh Shek Molonu. We say that we were Avadim, we were physical slaves. Not only did we have a spiritual kind of Shibud, but physically we were slaves. V'Chol HaRosh Shek Shagamalnu. We mention all the evil that the Mitzvah did to us. V'Masayim V'Nisim V'Naflo Shenasu Lanu V'Chei V'Seinu. Then we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the second element of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the difference between Zechir and Sipur. And finally, the Rambam points out that another difference is that the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to mention the mitzvos halayla as well. Rabbi Gamliel, Hayomer, Kol Shalomer, Shlo Shivar, Melo, Pesach, Lo Yotzi, Rechavosim, Pesach, Matzumor. You have to mention the mitzvos halayla. That's part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. As the Rambam concludes, Halacha Hey, Udvarim Ha'elu Kulam Nekroim Haggadah. That's what Haggadah means. Haggadah means embellishing Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim embellishing just the bare bones mention of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but to lengthen this story, to lengthen the whole discussion of the story. But there's another difference between Zechira Tzipa and Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that is, when it comes to Tzipa, we find that Kol Hamar B'Lasaper B'Yetzias Mitzrayim Areze Meshuvah. Lengthening just doesn't only mean Derech Shel Meshuvah and Maslev and Nusim Sayim B'Shavach and the Mitzvah Halayla, but as much as you can, the more you do, the better. The more, the merrier when it comes to Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is this the case? Why is it necessary to be married by Lasaf and Yetzias Mitzrayim? What's the point? What's more, we say, Va'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu zekeinim, kulanu yodim es ha-Torah, mitzvah leinu Lasaf and Yetzias Mitzrayim, v'cholamar b'Lasaf ha-reze meshubach. We say, even if we're chachamim and nevonim and yodim es ha-Torah, Afilu kolonu chacham, kolonu nevod, kolonu zekeinu, kolonu yodim asatara, mitzvah leinu lesaper b'yitzias Mitzrayim. What's the chiddush? What you would think if someone's a talmid chacham and not chayav in tzipa yitzias Mitzrayim? Do we ever find a hava mina that if someone's a talmid chacham, he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah of tefillin? It's not mechuyev in shofar? It's not mechuyev in sukkah? This episode over here, we have such a hava mina. You think someone's a talmid chacham and he doesn't have to do tzipa yitzias Mitzrayim? What's the hava mina? What's the kamash malon? Well, what's the shock of the tire here? That I have a hava mina that a talmid chacham is not mitzvah in tzipa yitzias Mitzrayim? Kamash malon that he is. The third kasha, Maral asks in the beginning of Gevuras Hashem in Perek Aleph, he says, "How's it mutter leharbos l'saper b'tzias Mitzrayim?" The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph tells a story. Ha'uda Noches Kamei de Reb Chanina. There was someone who went down to be a shliach tzibur in front of Reb Chanina. Omar Hakel Hagodol Hagibor VeHanora HaAdir HaAmitz HaIzus HaAmiti HaYoroi. It was a long Chazaras Hashanah. He was lengthening there, and all the shvachim. Amalei, Rabbi Chanina turned to him and says, "Siyamtinu l'kulei shvachim v'marach." What did he finish? It's over. That's it. No more. It sounds like a person is not supposed to enter the shvachim. Chazal said that the way you're supposed to mention some of the shvachim, so Chazal instituted that you say, "Okel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Hanora," and that's it. You don't add on to that. Well, the Chora isn't Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim adding to the Shvachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the nisim and the flaws that he did in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So how's it mutter to do that? Frek the Maral. Zok the Maral, Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim is totally different. It's not just to mention Shivchei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the tachlis of Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim is to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift to us, to appreciate the freedom, to kavli dei hakaras hatov. That's the tachlis of all of Yetzias, of all Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim. To appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beneficence. So that's the goal. If the goal is not simply to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but to achieve HaKadosh HaTov, then it's Mutar L'Harech. Not only is it Mutar L'Harech, it's a Mitzvah L'Harech. Harezim Meshubach. The more that we're married, the better. The more that we express our appreciation, we express our thanks, the better. Bamas, this idea is alluded to in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam writes in Mitzvahs HaSeh Kuf Nun Zayim that Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rambam says, he should Tzivon L'Sabah B'Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Lech HaMisha Osev V'Nisa M'Tchila HaLayla. Dr. Rambam B'Chol Masha Yosef B'Maimer V'Yarech HaDvarim B'Agdolos Masha Osev L'Nu Hashem Masha Osev L'Nu HaMitzvah Me'Ovel V'Chomos. Someone who's Marech to talk about everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us, what the Mitzrim, the iniquity, the evil that the Mitzrim did to Klal Yisrael, the Echlokach Hashem, the Kmosein HaMehem, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took revenge from the Mitzrim. Ulahodos lo yisala al kol tuv she'gmalanu yiyo yoseh tov. To praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything he did, the person who's marich, he'll be yoseh tov, will be even better. Kmo she'omru b'chol amarat l'sabe b'yitzias Mitzrayim, hareze meshubach. Notice the Rambam says that it's not enough to describe the nisim and the flows, but rather someone who's marech lahodos lo yisala kol tuv asher malanu hareza meshuvach. Part of Tzipa Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just sheilu tshuva and maskel b'nosim sayim b'shevach and the different mitzvahs halayla. Hallel lahodos lo yisala kol tuv asher malanu That's part of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim, but more than that, it's not just part, it's the tachlis of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim. That's the last word that the Rambam gives us. That's the tachlis of the whole night, of all of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim. So it's not a surprise that after the whole Maggid, at the end of the Maggid, what do we say? We talk about all the Nisim that are flows, and we have different drushas to discuss Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim. What do we do? We sing Dayenu. What does Dayenu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu did so much for us. If he would have only taken us out of Mitzrayim, Dayenu. And if he would have done this, Dayenu. And if that, Dayenu. Alachas kama v'chama toba kfulu mechupelas lamokom aleinu sheotzianu mimitzrayim v'asavev shavotim v'harav eloheim, etc. What's that all about? It's about hakaras hatov. It's about expressing thanks. What's the final word in Magid? Halav. Lefigach anachnu chayavim lahodos l'shabeach, etc. That's the C. That's the climax of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim. As the Rambam says, up to Maral, if the climax of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim is lahodos ulahalel hakaras hatov, so then we understand that the more that a person is marich, harei ze meshumach, it's taka better. Because the more you thank a person, the more you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater the thanks is. So of course, if that's the goal, then we understand that it's appropriate. Not only is it mutter to be marach, it's a mitzvah to be marach, hareza meshubach. And based on this, we can answer the other question that we asked. Afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nivonim, kulanu yodim esatara. Yes, the havamina is, if Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim is about yediyah, if it's about knowledge of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, if someone's a Talmud Chacham, maybe he's not a believer in Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim because he knows everything. Right? It's not just mentioning. It's elaborating. If the elaboration is simply to gain a greater idea of Yetzirah Mitzrayim, so then done. Right? Got that. Done with it. The Talmud Chacham knows. So what's the goal of being Mesaper? What's the goal of being Marbe Lesaper? The answer is, the goal of being Marbe Lesaper is not for Yediyah. It's to achieve Hakaras HaTov, for greater Hakaras HaTov. In fact, the Sefer itself is an expression of Hakaras HaTov. So we understand, even the Chachamim have to be Mesaper, they have to be marvelous Saper, because they also have to express thanks. There's a famous question that's asked that might relate to this issue as well. Many ask the question, why don't we have a bracha on Sefer Yetzirah Mitzrayim? Have a bracha? And most mitzvahs, chazal, and masakin, and birchas are mitzvahs, so why not in Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim? So there are different answers given. Says the Maral, maybe the answer is that Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim is ikaro belev. That's what the Maral says. Ikaro belev is fundamentally a mitzvah in the heart. It's a mechara, it's a pella. What's the Maral talking about? Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim is an ikar mitzvah in the heart. Sifri is in the pe, zochah sheteshonah beficha. Haggadah means befeh. So what's the Maral saying that Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim is belief? So l'chora, according to what Maral says in Perek Aleph, it's very beautiful. If Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim, the goal is hakaras hatov, so it's taka the ikris belev, to feel the thanks in the heart. And that's the tachlis of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim. You don't fulfill the Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim b'shleim musa without feeling hakaras hatov belev. So maybe that's what the Maral is saying. That if the ikar mitzvah is not b'maisa, not b'dibra, of course that's part of the mitzvah, that's not the goal. If the goal is belev, the goal is to feel a sense of thanks in the heart, so then we understand chazal weren't besakin a bracha on such a mitzvah. Even though there is a dibra element to the mitzvah, but if the goal is belev, so then perhaps it makes sense that there's no bracha on the mitzvah. This yisod about the tachlis of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim can explain another thing as well. We know that Chazal were koveya that the primary mitzvah of Sifri Yetzirah Mitzrayim should occur through the drushas, the darshaning of the parsha of Mikra Bikurim, the parsha and parsha's Kisava. Right? The section of Mikra Bikurim and parsha's Kisava. Why don't we darshan the psukim and parsha's Shmos? Sefer Shmos, why do we have to darshan Parshat Kisava? I know Parshat Kisava talks about Yetzirah Mitzrayim, but what do we have to pick that parsha for? It's a little bit mutna, a little bit strange. Let's darshan the psukim in Sefer Shmos. Through our drushas of Parshat Kisava, we mention the psukim of Sefer Shmos as well, but we can just quote the midrashim in Sefer Shmos. Why do we have to quote midrashim on the parsha of Bikurim? It's interesting. What's more, the Rambam, there in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Chametz Matzah, when he mentions that Kol Amarach L'Saber B'Yitzias Mitzrayim HaRezim Meshubach, he actually says this twice. He first says this in Halacha Aleph, Mitzvah Saseh Shal Torah L'Saber M'Nisim V'Naflo Shanaslav V'Sinim V'Mitzrayim B'Lacha V'Sha'asar, etc. אפילו חכמים גדולים חייבים לסבב ביציאס וסיים לך למערך בדבר שאירו ושהיו הרי זה משובח. Point number one, says the Rambam. And then the Rambam describes exactly how one fulfills the ביציאס וסיים. מסכל בגנוסם מסיים בשבח. וכי מסכל מודיע שעבודם היינו לפעמים במצרים וחלבו השם כמו לנו, מסיים בניסם ובנפלו שנעשו לנו ובחי רסינו. Talk to Rambam, והוא שאידרוש מהרמי עובדובי עד שיגמר כל הפרשי. It's supposed to darshan the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. As the Rambam b'cholam Moshe v'marach b'drash parshazu hareiz meshubach. Someone who's marach b'drash parshazu hareiz meshubach. You see, from the Rambam, this is an important element of CPTS Mitzrayim to darsh in the parsha of Mikra Bikur. And the idea of hareiz meshubach kolam mar b'lasafer hareiz meshubach that applies to the drasha of Mikra Bikurim itself, not just to CPTS Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Why is the parsha of Mikra Bikurim so important? The answer that some give. You have to look at the beginning of the Parsha Bikurim, before the actual Mikra Bikurim starts. What does the Pasuk say? The farmer has Bikurim, he has his first fruits, he brings it up to the Beis HaMikdash. Why does he bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash? It's because the Pasuk says, Ubasa lakoin asheyeh bayam mahem, v'amarta eila v'gadat v'ayom l'ashem alokecha kibasi ala aretz asher nishba l'avoseinu las eslon. Comes up to the Beis HaMikdash, he tells the coin, I've come. What have I come to do? Says Rashi, "V'amarta elav she'eincha kafui tova." The whole purpose of the parsha of Mikra Bikurim is to say thank you. To say I'm not ungrateful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me land. He's given me produce. I want to say thank you. That's what Mikra Bikurim is all about. That's what the whole parsha of Mikra Bikurim is all about. To express hakaras hatov. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything He's given us. And that's the yesod of CPTS Mitzrayim. They dovetail together. It's the same yesod. So to be madgish, to stress the inyan of Hakaras HaTov that is hinted to, that is so critical, such a critical part of CPTS Mitzrayim, Chazal instituted the Jindavka Shadarshan, the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim, because that brings the idea home. Hakaras HaTov is the essence of Mikra Bikurim, is the essence of CPTS Mitzrayim. So to bring that idea home, Chazal emphasized that you dafka have to darsh in the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. But there's one last step, and that is, so what happens is the goal? Hakaras HaTov, just to express thanks? No, the expression of thanks itself has its own goal. The goal is that when you express thanks, when you thank an individual, if you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you feel beholden to him. You feel beholden to the individual that did you the Tova. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who did you the Tova, then you feel beholden to him. And what does that do to us? It makes us want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. The ultimate goal of CPTS Mitzrayim is what? V'lakach li'eschem li'la'om. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, and he made us into his avodim. So to express thank you for Yitzias Mitzrayim generates within us the rutzon to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better. Ultimately, the goal of CPTS Mitzrayim is to appreciate the gift of freedom, to appreciate everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us, and in response to the Avas Hashem that Yitzias Mitzrayim expresses, in response to the great Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated through Yitzias Mitzrayim, we should have a greater rutzon to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu even better. That's really the goal of the entire city. The Haggadah begins with the Holach Ma'ani. If you have a Rambam, you can follow. He has a nusach of the Haggadah at the end of Perek Ches. Holach Ma'ani diachalu abasan abarad Mitzrayim. Kol dichmin yesev yechol, kol ditzurich yesev yivsach. Hashat ha'ochel l'shan abba barad Yisrael, hashat ha'abdi l'shan abba b'necho. So we start, Holach Ma'ani diachalu abasan abarad Mitzrayim. Sounds like this is lechem, Zecher l'shibut, Zecher l'avdus. This is what Klal Yisrael ate in Mitzrayim. And then we suddenly jump to Kol Dichon Yesev Yerichol, Kol Ditzurich Yesev Yivsach. We're talking about the Seder. Anyone who wants to come, we invite the guests. What's going on over here? Two different themes that we're melding together. Well, what does this mean? Seems like a stira. So the Tashbetz explains that we're setting up a contrast. We're saying that Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim were avodim. They had to eat the lechem oni, they had to eat the matzah, the poor man's bread, so to speak, right? They didn't have much. They didn't have the opportunity to invite guests because they didn't even have anything to give to the guests. They didn't have any food, extra food. They barely had food for themselves. They didn't have food to give to the guests. The first thing that we say on the Seder night is look at the contrast. Avadim Ayinu, we were Avadim in Mitzrayim. We didn't even have enough for ourselves. We certainly didn't have enough to invite the guests. But we have the opportunity to invite guests now. We're not inviting the guests now. If we were inviting the guests, we would do so before the Kiddush. We're making a statement. The statement is, look at how different our lives are, that we have the opportunity to invite guests. We are B'nai Chorin. We have the opportunity to invite guests. Setting up the contrast, that's the beginning. But then the question is, what's the seal? What's the end? Hashata Hocha L'shana V'Ba'adi Yisrael, Hashata Avde L'shana V'Bnei Chorin. Hashata Avde, after we just said that we're B'nai Chorin. No, we're still Avodim, then we're going to be B'nai Chorin in the future. Well, what's going on? Schizophrenic. And we're going from Avdus to Chayrus, back to Avdus, then to Chayrus. Well, what's going on over here? It's a bad way to start with such a confusion. Rabbi Ginnak, in his Sefer Gan Shoshanim and Chelak Aleph Simen Chav Gimel, has a beautiful pshat here. He says he thinks that the Baal HaGadol wants to answer a question that many of the Mefarshim ask. That since we're still in Golus, one could ask, what's the point of the Seder? What we're trying to say that we're B'nai Chorin. Okay, we're not as bad as we once were, but we're still in Golus. Still in Golus. Yes, we had a Gaula, but we lost it. So, is this really such a happy night? Is this really a night for such simcha? This is a time to think of Golus, and if we think of Golus, that should be depressing, it should be frustrating to us. So why should we be happy? Says the Baal HaGadol, Hashata Hocha L'shana V'Ba'adi Yisrael, Hashata Avde L'shana V'Bnecha. What does that mean? Rabbi Ginnak explains with a mashal. He says, imagine if someone is in jail. But they tell him that he's going to go free tomorrow. He has to sleep in jail. This is his last night, but tomorrow he's going to be going free. How does he feel? He feels like a Ben Chorin now. He's in jail. Physically, he's in jail. That's the location he finds himself in. But he feels like a Ben Chorin. He feels like he's free. Conversely, if someone is free, he's living in his own house. And he has a lot. He's got everything, right? He's living in a wealthy, he's living in a mansion. But they tell him that they're going to indict him tomorrow and send him to jail. So how does the guy feel? He feels free. He feels like he's sitting in jail already. Freedom is not a function of a person's location. It's a function of his aspiration. It's a function of the direction that he's going in. That's what we're saying. That Klal Yisrael's destiny is to have freedom, to have a geula. The geula can come immediately. The Yitach Hishana can come immediately. Yes, sometimes it comes beita, sometimes it delays, but really, achishana, it can come in a split second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a kol yachol, and you can accomplish anything. You can bring it in one fell, behar ayin, the final geula can come. So because we know that our destiny is toward geula, that's what Klal Yisrael's destiny is, that we are going to be redeemed, we are going to experience the ultimate geula as a nation. We feel like B'nai Chorin even now. We feel a sense of spiritual freedom. We even feel the physical freedom. Maybe now the situation is not so great, right? There is anti-Semitism. There are difficulties. But our destiny is to achieve Geula. So that's our destiny. That's the direction we're going in. It gives us a sense of Chayrus even now. That's what the Baal HaGadol wants to emphasize. We were Avodim in Mitzrayim. Now we have the ability to invite guests, but you would think, oh, but that sense of simcha, the sense of cheres, is not complete, because we're still in Golos. Kamash malon, yeah, we're physically in Golos, but since we have a destiny for Geula, that's our aspiration, that's our dream, and that's the direction that we're going in, then we enjoy that sense, and we appreciate that we're really even B'nai Chorin now, because that's our mentality. That's our mentality, then we have the key to being besimcha, even in the here and now. Okay. One of the highlights of the Haggadah and of the Seder, especially for children, is of course the Manishtan. So we mentioned the Manishtana, the Darshei Lutshuva, is part of Tzichus Yetzias Mitzrayim. Elaborating on Tzichus Yetzias Mitzrayim, just mentioning going out of Mitzrayim. He's supposed to do Derech Sheila Tshuvot. What's the idea? Well, what's the goal of the question-answer format? Reb Chaim Shmulevitz explains, based on a very fundamental yisod, the pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel says that when people come to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, they're supposed to do it in a certain way. This is in Yecheskel in Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Tes. Uvavo am ha'oretz l'tnei Hashem b'amodim, habodar shar tzofon l'shtachavos yetze der shar negin. The one who comes in through the shar tzofon, through the northern gate, goes out through the southern gate. The habodar shar negin yetze der shar tzofon, the one who comes through the southern gate, has to go out through the northern gate. L'yoshu der hashar asher bo, kinecho yetze. He shouldn't go out through the same gate that he came in, he has to go out through the opposite gate. What a strange idea is this. Can't go out through the same gate. Maybe it's more convenient. Maybe my car is parked on the same side. You got to go through the other gate. Walk all the way around. What's the idea? So Reb Chaim Shalevitz quotes Reb Yaakov Emden suggests that the idea is to maintain the sense of freshness and excitement the person has around the Beis HaMikdash. That there's a concern if he goes out through the same gate, he's been there already. He's familiar with that gate. He always has to do things around the Beis HaMikdash in a way that's going to be exciting, that's going to seem new. Not that he's familiar with the territory, but it's exciting, it's new, even if he's been to the northern gate before, he hasn't been there in a while. Certainly he hasn't been to the southern gate either, so don't go out through the northern gate. You come into the northern gate, go out through the southern gate. Come into the southern gate, go out through the northern gate. Don't go out the same gate. To maintain the sense of excitement for the Beis HaMikdash at all moments when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. This is similar to the idea that we find Pasuk in Parshas Achrimo says that when Aaron HaKohen comes into the Kodesh Kodashim, comes on Yom Kippur, but he doesn't come all the time. Dabar al Aaron Achicha v'Achli Yavo b'Cholei Sel HaKodesh. He shouldn't come to the Kodesh HaKodashim every day. He only comes once a year. Why only once a year? So says Rashi over there, L'fi Shegilu Shechinas Yisham Yizor Shelo Yargil Lavam. Because Megillah Shechina is there, though he shouldn't come regularly. Shouldn't come every day. Yom Kippur, that's it. Why? What's the idea? Chaim Shmulevitz says it's the same idea. The Kodesh HaKadosh is a very special place. We want to make sure that the Kohen Gadol is excited. It's something fresh, it's something new, it's something unique. But to maintain that sense of freshness, he can't come every day. Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds a sense of staleness. So we want to make sure that the Kohen Gadol has that sense of excitement. Zogdu Chanish Volevitz, maybe that's the idea of Sheva Tshuva as well. We know we do so many things to pique the interest of the Tinokos, right? To make sure that the kids are excited. We eat the karpas, and the old minig, as the Rambam points out, is to take the Shulchan away. We don't quite take the Shulchan away, but some actually do. They take the Ka'ara away. Don't take the whole table, but they used to take the table away from the head of the household. That's quite strange, right? We're doing a lot of strange things so that the Tinokos will ask questions. We want to excite them in the asking of the questions. Why? Because if their curiosity is piqued, if their interest is piqued, they'll become more involved, they'll become more excited in the process, and it'll leave a more indelible impact on them. That's the difference between a shiur that's just a lecture and a shiur where there are questions and answers. Questions from a Rebbe, questions from Talmidim. When there's a question-answer format that involves people, it's more exciting. Pedagogically, it's a better way to teach. That's what they say. Right? It's true. So that's the point. CPT Yisrael is the best pedagogy. How do we do that? How do we teach the children appropriately? By making them excited, not by making them bored. So the question-answer format is a way to pique their interest, to get their curiosity involved, to make sure that they're excited. I think based on this idea, I was thinking maybe the idea of Sheilu Tshuva is not just to ask the questions that we have, that the Haggadah has. Maybe there's an inyan to add your own questions and to try to constantly be asking questions to get the children to ask their own questions. You know, someone could say the Manishtana. I mean, come on, everyone knows those questions. That's exciting. It's okay, so the question is a format, but it's like just reading them because we know those questions. I think based on this idea, maybe there's an inyan for someone to ask their own questions. That's the Margul HaSafer. the whole idea is to get people excited, to get the children excited, to get the adults at the Seder excited. So maybe there's a special inyan to ask questions at the Seder because it's understood that that's going to get everyone even more excited. Okay. Questions? Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim v'yotzeinu Hashem elokeinu lishom. Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. Why do you say lefaro b'mitzrayim? What's this double lashon? Avodim hayinu b'mitzrayim. What's this lefaro b'mitzrayim? The Rav, in his English Haggadah, Exalted Evening, suggests the following idea. He says there are two types of slaves. There's the slave owned by the individual, and there's a slave owned by the state. Both types of avdus are degrading, but they're different. If a slave is owned by an individual, he can attain a position of power in the master's household. Take, for example, Yosef. Now, Yosef was a slave, he was an eved in the house of Potiphar, but Potiphar saw that Yosef was a smart cookie, right? He was able to take charge of all the affairs of the household very well. So he appointed him on his household, appointed him in charge of everything. Yosef earned Potiphar's trust, so Potiphar appointed him in some kind of position of power. So he wasn't eved, Yosef wasn't free, but he was appointed to a position of power. That's a slave that's owned by an individual. But if a slave is the property of a cold, merciless corporate state, then there's no relationship with the Odon possible. There's no friendship possible over there. No matter how long he remains a slave, he's as new to the master as the first day. Maybe that's the meaning of the hymn. Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim means that we were slaves to Paro in Mitzrayim. We were slaves to a corporate state with a ruler who was named Paro. We don't even know the king's name, Paro. Right? Even the king's identity was erased in that land, Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was a corporate state. Everyone was working for the state. Even the king. He was just the king. But he didn't have his own personal identity. So of course the avodim of such a state, we were just a faceless group of slaves. The whole relationship was a completely impersonal one. So that simply stresses and highlights the cruelty of our situation. That's the point. What the Baal HaGadol wants to bring out is that there was no hope to have any relationship with our masters. So it was just a terrible situation, a very cruel situation. We were on the lowest of the low of the totem pole, and there was no hope to even go up in that on that pole, in that gamut. I think perhaps based on this idea, we can explain the continuation of this paragraph. Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim v'yotzeinu Hashem Elokeinu misham. It's interesting, the pasuk in Chumash doesn't say Hashem Elokeinu. The pasuk says v'yotzeinu Hashem misham. Avodim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim v'yotzeinu Hashem misham b'yad chazak v'zera netuya. Why do we add Elokeinu? So maybe what the Baal HaGadol wants to bring out is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not just Hashem. He's also Elokeinu. He's our God. He cares about us. As opposed to Paro and Mitzrayim and all the Mitzrayim that didn't care about Bnei Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does care about us. And that's the contrast that we want to set up over here. And how beautiful it is, not only are we not in this terrible situation, but we have a Melech, we have an Adon who cares about us. And it's such a different experience. The experience of Cheres with this kind of master is just so much better. That really is what Cheres is about. And we might have to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's the most beautiful cheres. We have an Adon who provides for us and who cares so much about us. Skipping a little bit, the Baal HaGadol says, after Mechila, Obdei Avodah Zarah, Hayu Avoseinu, Baruch Shomer Avtechoso LeYisrael, Baruch Hu, Shakadosh Baruch Hu, Chisha V'Sakeitz, Lassos Kama Shomer L'Avram Avinu B'Bris Ben Avosorim, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomer Avtechoso LeYisrael. He keeps his promises. And we say Baruch. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is praiseworthy because he keeps his promises. How do we understand this? Such a big thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps his promises. I thought everyone's supposed to keep their promises. This is such a big deal. So the answer is the continuation of the paragraph. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chishev HaSakeitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged the Keitz. He arranged that the Geula should take place early. after 210 years. It took place Kate's Shana early, 180 years early. Why did that have to be? So we know that the Bris Bein Abisarim was that Klal Yisrael should be in Mitzrayim for 400 years. But as the Sforim and the Sifrei Kabbalah say, the Klal Yisrael had lowered themselves to the Memper Shari Tumah. They were on the lowest throne of the Memper Shari Tumah. And if they stayed in Mitzrayim any longer, then they wouldn't have been able to be redeemed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that they should go out early. How would they go out early? That breaks the Bris, breaks the deal. So he made the Shibud harder. The Svarim say HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Shibud harder. After Moshe and Aaron came to Paro and asked him to free Bnei Yisrael, the Shibud got even harder. And it was getting harder even from before then, but then in Mamash got hard. They wouldn't even give them the bricks. They had to go and find the tevin for the bricks. Shibud was very, very difficult. But the goal of the Shibud being difficult, say the Svarim, was because if the Shibud wasn't the Shibud kosher, then Bnei Yisrael couldn't have been redeemed at all. The Geula would never have occurred b'chalal. So maybe that's the idea here, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for keeping His promise. One could have said that the fact that Bnei Yisrael were b'memter shari tumah, that wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's fault. No, they were in Mitzrayim, and you know, they weren't careful with themselves. You know, there's a b'chira chavshus, every person can choose their own destiny. Klal Yisrael weren't careful not to serve Avodah Zarah, not to lower themselves, so then they would have been zochet to geula. So one could say that's Mitzrayim Yisrael, it's not Mitzrayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to arrange that the geula should take place earlier? It's Klal Yisrael's problem. So that's the idea, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being shomer his avtacha, that even though he could have said it's not my fault, but his desire to take Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim was so great that he arranged that the Shibud should get even harder so that they'd be yotze the Shibud in less time. They'd be yotze the Shibud in 210 years and then they'd be able to get out 180 years earlier so that the Geula would have to be possible, because if he would have waited any longer, then the Geula would not have been possible again. What emerges from this idea is that the Shibud itself is a source of thanks. The Koshi HaShibud, the difficulty of the Shibud, is also a reason for thanks. Because without the Shibud being so, so bitter, we never would have left Mitzrayim B'chlal. It's a new perspective. And we would think, HaKadosh Baruch, you know, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch for taking us out of Mitzrayim, but apparently it turns out that we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch even for the Koshi HaShibud, not just for the Shibud, but for the Koshi HaShibud as well. This idea can help answer another question. We know Rabbi Gamliel says that if you don't mention Pesach Matzah Mor, you're not Yotzei Sifri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Pesach Matzah Mor. Some of the Mefarshim ask, it's out of order. The Seder is out of order. What should it have said? Mor or Pesach or Matzah? The Mor came first. By Moros Chayim, first Klal Yisrael's lives were embittered. And then we got the Geula. So right before the Geula, we had the bringing of the Karban Pesach, the Achilas Karban Pesach, we ate the Matzah with the Karban Pesach. So why don't we mention Morer last? Mesfasemis has a famous comment. He said that after the Geula, after Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, then they appreciated the Shibud as well. They realized that the Shibud was good for them. So the reason we mention Morer last is because now, at the time of Geula, they appreciated that the Morer was also like a Geula. It was also a good thing. It wasn't just a means to achieve the Geula, but it also was a good thing. It also was a necessary element to help them reach the level that they were going to reach at the time of the Geula. What does that mean? When at the time of Golas they felt HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned them, that's what we often feel during Golas, but after a Geula occurs, then a person realizes, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually there the whole time, and the Shibud was necessary. Rav Pinkus adds a mashal. He says, let's say a child is riding his bike, and he rides into the street. He rides into the street, and the father punishes him. The father says, "You're not really tzavi. You gotta go to bed early." So the child is crying and saying, "No, Abba, it's not fair. You know, I just made a mistake, and you know, I want another chance." And the father says, "No new chances. Not here. No second chances." So the kid goes to bed. He's all upset, and he says, "Ah, my father doesn't love me. He's angry at me. He doesn't love me." What's the emes? The emes is the father couldn't give a second chance to the child. Because if he gave a second chance, the child wouldn't take it as seriously. This wasn't simply the child in, you know, a small thing wrong. He rode his bike into the street. That's sakonas nefashis. So in this situation where the father has to teach a stronger lesson to the child, so then he can't give the child a second chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes makes it bitter. But that's not because there's no reason for it. The Sheba sometimes is necessary. It's a necessary element. Why is the Sheba necessary? So sometimes we explain that the Sheba helps a person develop certain kofos ha-nefesh that he wouldn't have known. When people are faced with difficult situations, it makes them reveal parts of their personality that they wouldn't necessarily have realized. That's certainly one element that the Sheba can be megala kofos ha-nefesh that a person didn't know. But based on the idea that we suggested, perhaps there's another answer. It's not just that the Shibud reveal parts of Klal Yisrael's nefesh that they didn't know. It's the Koshi HaShibud that enabled the Geula to begin with. Without the Shibud, the whole Geula would never have occurred. Because they wouldn't have been Roy for it. Right? If they so were in Memte Sharitum and HaKadosh Baruch hadn't taken them out, then the whole Geula would never have occurred to begin with. After the Geula occurred, and Klal Yisrael realized, right, after Kabbalah Sator, when they realized the levels that they could reach, they saw the Memte Shari Tumah and the different Shari Kedusha that they could achieve. So then they realized, Gevald, we were so low, then they appreciated the chesed of the Koshi HaShibud. They appreciated the chesed of the Koshi HaShibud, and that's why on the same night we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that as well. The Mora is not just the Zecher L'Shibud, Zecher L'Avdus, but it's part of the Geula. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Mora, for the Koshi HaShibud, because that's what enabled the Geula to come. I saw someone to suggest that this can answer another question as well. The Charoses is made out of different ingredients. You know, the Charoses is made out of, the nuts and the wine and the fruits, etc. What's the purpose of Charoses? So the Gemara in Pesachim says one of the ideas that is expressed in Charos is that it's zecher letit, zecher to the cement, right? Zecher leavdus, and the Gemara says tzarich lesmucha, you should make it very thick so that it'll be like tit. Come to Balei Tosfos in Pesachim, they quote from the Gaonim that you should put shkedim, you should put almonds into the Charoses. Al shem sheshokar HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hakeiz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shoket. Shoket means he did it quickly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shoket al hakeiz to bring it early, so we should put shkedim into the charoses. See, chorot zepela. The charoses is supposed to be zecher latit, it's zecher l'shibud. So why put the shkedim in there? Shkedim talk about geula. Charoses talks about the shibud. What do the two have to do with each other? The answer is, it's exactly the point that the koshi ha-shibud is all about HaKadosh Baruch Hu making the geula come early. The only way that the geula was able to come early is because the Sheba got much stronger. So that's what we're showing, and it's taka achesed, we're showing the chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness, that he was shoked on the cave by making the zecher letit, by making the tit harder, by making the Sheba harder. That's what brought the geula in the first place. Forever alayach v'erech misposeshes ben amayach v'amalav ben amayach ha'i v'amalav ben amayach ha'i. Two damim. Medrash says that Klal Yisrael was zochet to Yetzias Mitzrayim to the dam Pesach and dam Milah. Two damim. Why after these two mitzvahs, Pesach and Milah? What's special about them? So we know the first thing that's special about Pesach and Milah is that these are mitzvahs haseif for which the zechiv of karis. But that's what makes them special. That's the zechus to achieve the ula. So I thought maybe the answer is that Pesach and Milah both signify. They're both mitzvahs that symbolize Mesiris Nefesh. Mila is the ultimate Mesiris Nefesh. That's the real symbol of Mesiris Nefesh, because you take a little bit of Dam out of the body. The Dam is the Nefesh of the individual. So it's not that you're most in Nefesh, Chalila. We hope that the child is gonna live. He'll be zochah to live al Kiddush Hashem. But it's an expression, it's a symbol of Mesiris Nefesh. Pesach we know as well. When Bnei Yisrael were commanded to take the carbon pestle, they realized that this was dangerous. Right? The God of the Mitzvah, what they're going to shech the seh, the God of the Mitzvah, that's difficult. Very difficult. The Shabbos before, Shabbos HaGadol, it's called HaGadol because it was a big nes that the Mitzvah didn't beat them up. They took Mesiris Nefesh. Maybe that's the idea, that in order for Klal Yisrael to achieve Geula, they had to demonstrate Mesiris Nefesh. They had to demonstrate how far they were willing to go to fulfill Ratzon Hashem. Maybe we can explain based on something where Pinkus writes. Pinkus says, you know, there's a minute to say Shir Hashirim after the Seder. What does that have to do with the Seder? We're so tired after the Seder. Some people are cleaning up, you know, right? You clean up after the Seder. And some sit down and they say Shir Hashirim. What's the idea of Shir Hashirim? Pinkus says, what does Shir Hashirim express? Shir Hashirim is an expression of the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And it's symbolized through the relationship between a husband and wife. That's what Shir Hashirim is all about. The fact is, a person shares more with people that they're close to. Someone is close to some friends, then he'll share secrets with their friends more than he'll share with the average person on the street. And someone has a best friend, he shares even more with the best friend. He has family. So if something happens in school, he won't necessarily share it with his best friend, because, you know, it's a private matter, but he'll share it with his family, share it with his siblings, share it with his parents, maybe. Because family is closer. But who's the closest of all? Who's the one that the person shares his innermost secrets with? The spouse. That's the person, the third person someone will feel closest with, and that's who they're going to share most of their secrets with. So Dr. Pinkus, the Yisod of the Seder, is to realize that Yetzias Mitzrayim expresses the Ava that Klal Yisrael had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu had for us. What does that mean? Klal Yisrael was willing to have Mesiras Nefesh. They were willing to go the full 9 yards. They were willing to do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded it of them. If he asked, if he requested, they were willing to do anything. The Navi Yirmiyah says, Ko Omar Hashem, Zachari Lachesin Nirayach, Avas Kalulosayach, Avas Kalulosayach, the Ava that Klal Yisrael had, Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zeruah. The Mesiras Nefesh that Klal Yisrael demonstrated to go Be'emuna Shleima. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them to go out to the Midbar. They didn't know what was there. They didn't have water. They didn't have food. But they went. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked it of them. They were willing to do it. What's the response? Says the Navi, Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvuasa. Kol Ochlov Yashamu Ro'a Tavu Aleim Nu'um Hashem. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem. Klal Yisrael is Kodesh Hashem. What does it mean, Kodesh? I think it's from a Lashon of Kiddushin. The Klal Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spouse, Kaviyach. We have a special connection. If Klal Yisrael was willing to demonstrate their Muna, they were willing to be Mosen Nefesh, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to reach out to us, and He gives us Ahava as well. Our Mesiras Nefesh generates a special Ahava. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a Geula when we're ready to demonstrate Mesiras Nefesh for Him. We always find HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us to demonstrate some kind of Mesiras Nefesh, even after Yetzias Mitzrayim. When it came to the Yamsuf, Nachshon had to jump in. He's always waiting for us. The time of Purim, Esther had to demonstrate some kind of Mesiras Nefesh. It's always that kind of relationship. If Klal Yisrael is willing to demonstrate Mesiras Nefesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to redeem us. And for the ultimate Geula as well, we have to be willing to demonstrate Mesiras Nefesh, to give up a little bit on our Nefesh, to give up a little bit on our Ritzonos, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu better, and then hopefully He'll respond by reaching out to us and bringing us the ultimate Geula. V'nitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. We cried out, and Yisrael cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kmo Shenema Bayi Bayom Harab Mohem Bayom Es Melech Mitzrayim Bayom Zul Yisrael Min Avoda Bayizoku V'tal Shavos. Why did Klal Yisrael cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dachka when Melech Mitzrayim passed away? So Rashi there explains that he was shochet Ktana Yisrael, he was shechting. Hard to say, right? He was shechting the children, and he was rochets bedamam, he was washing in their blood, because that's the only way that the rofim said that he could get a Yeshua from his ailment. Not because he was shechting the children. So when the terrible gezeira came out, kolabein hayilo hayorat hashlichu, they also should have cried out. We don't find that in the pasuk. They were throwing the children into the yam, into the yor, so why should they cry out then? Rav Zalman Sorotzkin says in his parashah on Chumash that maybe the difference is that when they were throwing the children into the Ya'or, they were young still. It was a terrible, terrible gzeira, a terrible thing. But Eino Dome, throwing a child, a young child that's just born, into the Ya'or, it's Eino Dome to killing a child that has developed a little bit. A young child that's lived for half a year, for a year, for a year and a half, 2 years. You have a relationship with the child, you have a connection to the child. It's much more bitter, much more difficult. So that's why they cried out. They cried out when Paro was shechting the Ktana Yisrael, because Those were older children. So it was so much worse. As bad as the other there was, this was even worse. But the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk is not that Paro was shackling the Ketana Yisrael, but rather that he died. So why Dafka did the Klai Yisrael cry out then? Zabda Chizkuni in his Parish on Chumash, he said that as long as Paro was living, Bnei Yisrael put their hope in Paro. Not in Paro's living, but in Paro's death, that they hoped that when Paro would die, things would get better. But when they saw that the Melech Chadash, that the new king, this is the Pashup Shad Nechumash, that the first Paro died, then there was a new Paro. When they saw the new king was no better. Maybe he was even worse, but he certainly wasn't better. So then they cried out, because then it was, that's even bitter. It's even more bitter. Because they thought it was going to get better, and it didn't get better. So that's why they cried out. Maybe we can add that Dafka, it was Dafka then that they trusted, they realized that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help them. They realized that the situation is not going to get better by itself, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to help them, so they put their trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why they were Zocher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered their tefillos because they put their full bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They realized there was no other way that they were going to be redeemed. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to them. We mentioned the Esther Makas. Elum Esther Makas, Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alamisim, B'Mitzrayim, Ve'elu Heim, Rabbi Yehuda Haya Omer, Ditzara Chadash V'achar, Rabbi Yehuda Haya Nosim V'hem Simon. What's the purpose of the Simon? But there's going to be an exam on the Makas, so we want to make sure that we have a good mnemonic to remember all the Makas. Well, what's this idea, Rabbi Yehuda Haya Nosim V'hem Simon? The Malbim, his Perashan Chumash, explains that the Makas were actually divided into three parts. Three parts to the Makas. It wasn't 10 different Makas, but there were three parts. Makas Bechoros was its own Makas. The purpose of Makas Bechoros was that the Mitzvah would want to send Bnei Yisrael out. That was for the old, you know, just to push them out of Mitzrayim. But the other nine Makas came in three groups. Each grouping of three, the first two makos came by Israel, there was a warning, and then the third mako was without a warning. The first two makos were with a warning to teach Paro and the Mitzrayim a fundamental yisod, but the third mako was just an onesh because they hardened their hearts and they didn't listen to the yisod that was told to them. What are the three yisodos that the three sedarim of the makos were coming to teach? It says the Malbim, the first seder, Dam Tzvardei and Kinim, was designed to be Mevarim Metzius Hashem. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists, existence of the Ribon HaShul. Bezos Teda Kiyani Hashem, the Pasuk says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. The Seder Hasheni, says the Malbim, was to reveal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Mashgiach, Hashgachas Hashem. Not just Bezos Teda Kiyani Hashem, but Laman Teda Kiyani Hashem Bekerev Haaretz. I'm there, I'm involved with the world. Hashgachas Hashem. And the Seder HaShlishi, says the Malbim, was to teach that not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu involved in the world, but he's a Baal HaYecholus Me'en Kamo, that he's omnipotent, that he has power, the greatest power, more than anything else. Bavur Tedaki Ein Kamoni B'chol Ha'aretz. Not just that I am Bekerev Ha'aretz, but that I am the most powerful. Three starim, the Tzar Hadash Ba'achav, so it could be Rabbi Yehuda's Nosim Em Simonim, not just for Simonim, but to show the three different yisodos that the three stars of the Makas were coming to teach. After we mention the Makas, so then we have an interesting Machlokas Tanoi, which interestingly enough, the Rambam leaves out, I see. But our Hagodos have this Machlokas Tanoi, and how many Makas were the Mitzrim loka on the Yam? The Shaila, three different opinions of the Tanoi. First glance, it seems a little bit strange. Why should we mention Kriyas Yamsuf over here? Why mention the Yamsuf Bechlal? You're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, so let's talk about the leaving of Mitzrayim. What does the Yamsuf have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? And it's not only here, but we say Halal. Like the Halal that we say at the end of Magid mentions Kriyas Yamsuf as well. I can say Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim, Beisakov Mi Amlois, etc. Hayom Rav Hayanos, Malacha Hayom Kisanos. What does that have to do with Yitzias Mitzrayim? Let's talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let's talk about the actual leaving of Mitzrayim. Why do we mention Kriyas Yamsuf? Lachor, a little bit of a pellet. Kriyas Yamsuf occurred a week after Yetzias Mitzrayim. So why mention Kriyas Yamsuf as part of Yetzias Mitzrayim? There's a very interesting sheet that the Magen Avraham has in Hilchos Kriyas Shema. Arachayim and Simon Samach Zayin Sekot Malach. The Magen Avraham writes that you can fulfill the mitzvah of Sipi of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim by saying the Shiras Hayam. If you say the Shiras Hayam, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. What does Shiras Hayam have to do with Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? In fact, the Chasam Sofer on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says you're not mentioning Yetzias Mitzrayim. The pasuk says that you have to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, by mentioning the Shiras Hayam, that's Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. How can that be? So perhaps the answer is that Kriyas Yamsuf was the climax of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the end. That was the gemar of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Is the Yerushalmi Imsochim Perek Yud Halacha Vav that says Ksiv Bifra Pros BiYisrael BiHisnadei Vam Baruch Hashem. The pasuk in Shiras Devora. Bifra Pros BiYisrael, when Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays back the enemy for what they do to Bnei Yisrael. You should say Shira. When you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing Nisim for you, say Shira. That's what the leaders, the Manhige Yisrael, should do. But there's Gulas Mitzrayim. Moshe and Aaron didn't say Shira and Gulas Mitzrayim. They waited until Kriyas Yamsuf to say Shira. Stuck against the pasuk. The pasuk says that when Klal Yisrael is saved, then the manhigim are supposed to say Shira. So up to Yerushalmi, Shan Yehi Shi Tchilas Geulasa. Yetzias Mitzrayim was the Tchilas HaGeula. So they didn't say Shira, then they only said Shira at Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Karban Eda and the Pnei Moshe both explain that until Bnei Yisrael was saved from the Mitzrayim at the Yamsuf, the Geula wasn't complete. Until the Mitzrayim drowned, until they were defeated, until they were killed, there wasn't the full Geula. That's what the pasuk says in Parashas B'Shalah. Vayosha Hashem Vayom Ahu Es Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. That's when the Yeshua occurred. It was Dafkei Vayom Ahu. Beforehand, they didn't have a full Geula. Rabbeinu Bachya, in his parish on Parashas B'Shalah, says that the idea is when an Eved has a difficult master, he has a Shibud Kasha, a very difficult Shibud, and then the master has to send him Bal Korcho. So then the Eved doesn't feel like he's had his Geula. He's always afraid that the master's going to run after him and bring him back to Avdus. It's only after the master dies, it's after the master is removed from the scene, then that's the ultimate Geula. Then the Eved feels that he's completely free. So maybe that's the idea, that Kriyas Yamsuf was the end of the Geula. It was the completion of the Geula. That's when Bnei Yisrael actually felt redeemed. That's when they felt completely redeemed. They were no longer connected to the Mitzvah. They no longer were afraid of the Mitzvah. So that's why it makes sense. It makes sense that perhaps by saying the Shiras Hayam can be also Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, because that was the Gemara HaGeula. That was the Gemara of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And maybe we can add just one more nekuda, that maybe in a different way, Kriyas Yamsuf was the Gemara of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because what was the Tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim? That Klal Yisrael should have Emunah B'Hashem. When did that Emunah reach the ultimate level? By Aminu B'Hashem of Moshe Avdo. It's after the Kriyas Yamsuf, after they saw that the Mitzvah drowned, they saw in retrospect the godless of all of the Nisim and the flows, the godless HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated both in Mitzrayim and on the Yam, and their Emunah B'Hashem reached a tremendous level. They reached a level of actual Nevuah. Right? They reached a very, very high level. So if the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is what? V'lakachti eschem li'la'om. If that's the goal, and part of Lila Om is to appreciate Emunah Hashem, to feel Emunah Hashem, like the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo says that the purpose of all the Nisim Agadolim Hamufursamim, the purpose of all the Nisim Gluyim, is to appreciate the Nisim Anistarim, to appreciate Hashgachas Hashem, to have Emunah Hashem. So then we understand that Kriyas Yamsuf was the Tachlis. That was the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was the Gemar HaGeula. That's when Klal Yisrael appreciated everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu had done for them, and they reached the highest level of Emunah B'Hashem. So it makes sense that the Magen Avraham holds that you can be Yotzei Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim with Shiras Hayam. Shiras Hayam is the expression of Emunah B'Hashem. So if Emunah B'Hashem was the ultimate purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim, then it makes sense that the Shiras Hayam could be the way by reciting Shiras Hayam you could be Yotzei Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. And that's perhaps why the final word of Magid, the final word of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, is the Hallel where we mention Kriyas Yamsuf. It's not enough just to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, but we talk about Kriyas Yamsuf as well, because that was the Gemar HaGeula. That was the completion of Yitzias Mitzrayim, both in the physical sense that Klal Yisrael were no longer afraid that the Mitzrayim were going to run after them, and in the spiritual sense that the level of Emunah B'Hashem that Klal Yisrael reached, they reached such a high level of Kriyas Yamsuf that they achieved the goal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's why we bedavka mention Kriyas Yamsuf, because that really was part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We should be zochet through all the mitzvahs halayla of the Seder night. We should strengthen our personal emunah b'Hashem and our avas Hashem, and that should bring us to want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu more and more. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond to us, and He should bring us the ultimate geula in Heir of Yameinu.